Shvi'es Perek Tes, Mishnah Tes, 9-9. This is the last Mishnah that discusses the topic of Shmitas Karkaos, the resting of the land in Eretz Yisrael in the seventh year. The next Perek and the last Perek of the Masechta will discuss Shmitas Ksafim, the release of loans in the seventh year. So this Mishnah kind of deals with two separate points, both of which are sort of almost loose ends in the Masechta. The first is built on the idea that we had a machlokas back in the fourth parak, Mishnah Beis 4:2, where we had a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether one may express gratitude for receiving access to Shemitah produce from someone else's land. And there the Mishnah said, Beis Shammai omrim ein ochlin perishvias betova, one may not express gratitude when taking perishvias, Shemitah produce from someone else. And Beis Hillel said, Ochlin betova v'shlo betova. It doesn't matter, you can or don't need to say thank you, it doesn't make a difference. In our Mishnah here, we have Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, who is aligned with Beis Shammai, is going to take that Beis Shammai shita to a whole new level. Beis Shammai held you can't express thanks. Here, Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold that it's inevitable that when someone gives you a gift, you can't help but have a debt of gratitude. You must inherently feel that you owe them something in return. And that would be true even if what you're receiving is Shemitah produce, which in fact is ownerless. And therefore the benefactor really has no legitimate claim on it. It wasn't his, it's ownerless. Yet the recipient will feel some real debt of gratitude back to the person who gave it. And therefore Rabbi Eliezer is going to want to restrict that. And he says, again, Shvius 9:9 inside. Misha hayu lo peiro shvius. If a person has Shemitah produce, shenaflo lo b'yerusha, o shnitnu lo b'matana, and the way he got that Shemitah produce was through inheritance or as a gift, Rabbi Eliezer omer yinatnu la'ochlehen, which means, loosely translated, Rabbi Eliezer holds that which the recipient got, he has to share with other people. It literally means, yinasnu, let's say Reuven gave Shimon an apple, because Reuven had collected the apple in the proper way. There's no problem with the apple per se. Reuven didn't break Hilchos Shemitah in any way, but he sees he has no need for this apple, so he gives it now as a gift to his friend Shimon. So here, Shimon received this apple by Matana, and here we're saying, Yinatu l'ochlein means that Shimon, the recipient, must share that apple with other people. He can't keep it all to himself. And by sharing it with other people, that would indicate that it's not really his in the first place as a real gift that he received so much. And that being the case, it would mitigate the problem of feeling indebted to Reuven, his benefactor. Now, the Chachamim, in truth, don't hold this whole line of reasoning. They hold like Beis Hillel. There's no problem with expressing gratitude for receiving a gift or taking produce that came from Shemitah. And therefore, they just have no issue with this. This is a non-issue to them, like Beis Hillel. However, the Chacham now are going to speak to Rabbi Eliezer as if they agree with him, meaning they're going to say, according to you, who hold that there's a problem with receiving a gift so then of Shemitah produce, so then your solution of just sharing with someone else doesn't solve the problem. For two reasons. First of all, because when you share with someone else, you still get some for yourself. So you only got half an apple as a gift, but at least you'll have half apple of gratitude according to you. So sort of we'll call this guy the chota, the sinner, meaning the guy who's doing the wrong thing, the recipient, Shimon, who's going to have a debt of gratitude to Reuven, his benefactor, is doing something wrong. And on top of that, even if he shares it, because he's still getting half an apple benefit. And second of all, the irony is, point out the Tiferes Yisrael, that now Shimon, by sharing it with his neighbor, is also causing his neighbor to have a debt of gratitude for the other half of the apple back to Shimon. So the problem isn't solved one bit. They're just sort of kicking the can down and propagating the problem. And therefore the rabbis say, the Chachamim say, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you want to be consistent and totally remove any sense of gratitude from being a recipient of this gift, let's say the apple, so what you'll have to do is you'll have to set aside the exact dollar amount, the value of that gift. Let's say the apple costs a dollar, so you'll set aside a full dollar. So when you eat the apple, you've gained nothing economically, and that dollar you'll give to Tzedakah, you'll give it to the Beis Din to separate to whomever they see fit. So you end up gaining nothing at all, and therefore you'll have no sense of gratitude in any way, even implicit, to the benefactor. So that's what the Chacham say here. The Chacham say, Chacham Omrim, Ein HaChoten Niskar, according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that it would be a problem to receive the gift because you'll automatically ascribe some sense of debt of gratitude to the benefactor. So you would be benefiting still if you'd had the apple. And furthermore, like I said, you'd be propagating the problem of giving the gift of half the other half of the apple to your neighbor. So that's no good. Ela yimachru lochlehen. Rather, again, translating very loosely for a moment, rather he has to take the money of the gift, the apple, let's say, and then separate that out. The udameim yischalku l'chol adam, and then that money will be given to whomever, and that way the person who eats the apple, the recipient, in our case Shimon, has gained nothing, so he won't have any sense of debt of gratitude back to Reuven, and that's no problem at all. The exact words here say, ela yimachru l'ochlehen, which means literally, they, the gift of the apple, should be sold literally to whomever is going to be eating it. So a really more appropriate choice of words would have been something like kipadu, like they should be redeemed. But it didn't choose a redemption lashon, it chose a language of sale, only because when you are do pidyon, when you redeem something, oftentimes it can be symbolic, like for a pruta. Maybe, for example, when you redeem the kedusha of Maaser Sheni, you put it on a single pruta's value, even though the actual value of the Maaser Sheni is more than a pruta. So you might think if mere pidyon is required, that simply, you know, taking one pruta's worth would allow the whole apple to be eaten, even if it were worth much more than a pruta. So here we use lashon of mecher, of sale, to tell you the full sale price, as the Rambam says in the parish, down to the last, you know, every last pruta has to be set aside so that the recipient gains nothing at all. Worth noting also here is le'ochlehen, in this second sentence, refers to the one who will be eating it, meaning the recipient of the gift. So in our case, Shimon eating the apple. He's the one who's eating it, therefore he has to set aside the money. That's in contrast to the previous sentence, when we use the word ochlehen, as in yinasu ochlehen. Here, there, over it meant ochlehen were other people who would share in the consumption, the eating of this apple, in our case, with Shimon. So there's two different uses of the word. I'm going to read the Mishnah through a second time in a moment, so make sure it's perfectly clear, because it's a lot of words that I'm saying here. Udamehem, and as for the money that was set aside as the value of, like, the, so to speak, purchase price, the would-be purchase price of this apple, is chalku l'chol adam, they'll be given to a bezin, and the bezin will give out the money, so there, also, that would obviate the sense of the recipient of the money being indebted to a new benefactor, let's say Shimon, which would just sort of, again, propagate the problem. So that's the first half of this Mishnah. Let me say it outside again, and I'll sum it up, and then I'll say it inside, because I know it's a little abstract. The Mishnah is saying that according to Rabbi Eliezer, one is not allowed to simply receive a gift or an inheritance of parish Shemitah, even if those produce was harvested legitimately according to the halachas of Shemitah, because the recipient will inevitably feel a debt of gratitude back to his benefactor. And Rabbi Eliezer holds, like Beis Shammai, that one is not allowed to express gratitude, and the sense of gratitude will be inevitable, and therefore it's in the person's mind, it will be as if this is not just hefker and unowned produce, which is disallowed, and therefore Eliezer holds the recipient must share with others, and therefore he won't feel like it's just his alone. The Chacham say, listen, as far as we're concerned, and this is the halacha, these words are not inside the Mishnah, but I'm telling you, the Chacham hold, as far as we're concerned, there's no problem receiving gifts because there's no problem with expressing gratitude at all, like Beis Hillel in 4:2. So therefore it's a non-starter for the Chacham. The Chacham now do say explicitly in our Mishnah, at least according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, what you're saying won't make sense. Your solution of having the recipient share with others won't help, because then he is doing the wrong thing and he's still eating half of what he received, whatever is a portion. So he's still benefiting. And therefore, and furthermore, it's the Tiferes Yisrael, worse than that, he's actually propagating the problem because he's forcing his beneficiaries to acknowledge him as the giver of something that is Kedusha Shvius. And therefore, the Chacham have a different proposed solution, which is, at least according to you, you'd be required to have the recipient take all the money of the value of his gift, put it aside, and have that given to tzedakah or whatever, given to aniyim, whoever, given to other people, and that way he, as a recipient, would actually gain nothing. And let me read it in, and let me read that inside to make sure it's perfectly clear. Misha hayu lo peiro shvias shenafalo b'yerusha o shenitnu lo b'matana. If a person gets peiros shvias, produce that has shmita kedusha, and it came to him via yerusha, inheritance, or as a gift, Rabbi Eliezer omer yinasnu lo chlehen. He asked to the recipient must share it with other people, so he's not looking like it's his and only his. It's rather it's hefker. V'chamrom, the chachamim say no, ein achot in iskar, that wouldn't work, because still he would be doing something wrong. He'd still get half of it, and he'd still be making them have to have a karas tov to him, at least according to you. Rather, Ella, the solution would have to be according to you, yimachru lo chleihem, you'd have to be sold, the recipient would have to sell it, so to speak, to himself, for the full market worth of what he received, v'damehem, and the purchase price, so to speak, of what he set aside for what he got, yizchalku lo chol adam, would be given to other people. Okay, that's, the halacha is not like that. The halacha is like the chachamim, like Beis Hillel, that there's no problem in receiving gifts and no problem with even expressing gratitude to someone if you receive peiros shvias through them. Okay, so now, second part of the Mishnah, new topic altogether, and a final point. It's the question of chala on dough that comes from flour, which has kedusha shvias. So, there are two reasons to think that one wouldn't, perhaps, take chala, a fresh challah, the gift to the Kohen that goes from the dough, from dough that was made from flour that came from Shemitah grain. And those two reasons are, number one, there's a general exemption of all Trumas Amaisras, gifts to the Kohanim and Levium, from produce in the seventh year. Since the Pasuk says the reason why the Levium get a special gift of Maisra, etc., is because they haven't got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael in the land itself, and therefore they're getting a gift from those who do get the land of Israel. But here, the Levim are no disadvantage, or the Kohanim neither, any disadvantage relative to everyone else, since the land is now ownerless, all the payers, I should say, are ownerless, so they have equal access, therefore they don't have a special benefit of Trumas HaMaisros. And Chala is basically another form of Truma. When we say Truma can come in a number of guises. It could be Truma Gadola, the first tithe given to the Kohen. It could be Trumas Meiser, that was, you know, played a major role in Maseches Damai, the tenth of the tenth that comes from the Levi's portion. That's also called Trumas Meiser, and in every way is identical to Truma. And so to Chala, the gift that's given from dough to the Kohen also has a status like Truma in every way. And therefore one might think the same way there's no Truma and Trumas Meiser on grain that comes in the Shemitah year, that has kedusha shvias, so too there should be no chala taken from flour, from dough made from flour from such grain. But that's not correct. There is a requirement to take chala. And similarly, you might have thought that there's no obligation, or one shouldn't take chala from the dough, perhaps because, as we've seen previously in the Masechta, chala as truma is more susceptible to tuma, and therefore it's more likely to become tame. And once tame, truma, and chala included in that, must be burned, and there's a prohibition against burning things that have kedushas shvias, as you said before, and therefore you might be causing you to have the need to burn things with kedushas shvias. So for those two reasons, you might have thought incorrectly that there's no chala to be taken from dough that has kedushas shvias, but in fact, one must be mafresh chala, separate the chala portion to give to a kohen, even bizman hazeh, from produce that comes from flour that has kedusha shvias. And the penalty for consuming truma or chala, trumas maisra, all the same thing, by a non-kohen is misa b'dei shamayim, is death, premature death at the hands of heaven. And that being the case, that would be true also for chala that one eats illegally as a non-kohen, or even for that matter, a kohen who eats dough that hadn't had chala taken from it in the seventh year. And therefore the Mishnah reads as follows, Ha'ochel me'isas shvias, if one eats dough that has Shemitah Kedusha, ad shlo hurma chalasa, prior to having its chala, the hafrashas chala, the gift of chala, being removed from it, hurma, like the word truma, or laharim, to lift up, it's connected, there's separation that uplifts this piece of dough in this case, chalasa, with the mapike, it's chala from the dough, so such a person who eats such untithed dough, it's not tithing, unchalad removed dough, chayev misa, such a person who eats it would be liable to a premature death, misa b'dei shemayim, because there's an obligation to remove challah from dough, even if the dough is kedusha shvias. That's halacha l'maaseh, and it's even true b'zman hazeh. And with that, we finish the ninth parak.